excited about sharing from God's Word with you today. We're going to be talking in our series, Breaking Free. We're walking through the book of Galatians together. I love this book. It's a passionate book, and it's a personal book. Paul wrote it to some people that he loved very much, and yet today he's going to call them names and speak of them as in a little bit of a harsh way. And so you better love the people that you're speaking truth into, okay? And so they know why you're saying what you're saying to them. But he's been talking for a long time about who he was. Paul's saying, this is me. I've been changed by the gospel. I'm different. Paul was heading in one direction, and when he met God, when he met Jesus on that road to Damascus, he was not the same anymore. He's like, that guy is gone, and I'm a new creation. I'm going this way now. And so he said, that's who I am. And because Christ has changed me, guess what? I got to preach. I got to teach the gospel. I got to tell people to find a way to peace. I got to teach people that they can be free. And so he spoke a lot about how to be free. Last week we talked about how to be free from sin. He said, my favorite verse, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he said, that's why I pray. That's who I am now. He said, but you guys have forgotten. You got led astray a little bit by some false teachers. And we're going to talk against them today and remind the Galatians, and I pray, remind us who we are and whose we are. And today we're going to talk about blessings, the blessings that we have as a child of God. Now, I'm not talking about get rich. This is not Oprah. You're not going to get a car or a box of Tide Pods or something like that, okay? Does anybody want Tide Pods? Nobody? Okay, you're good. All right. I don't know why I said Tide Pods. I saw that on some game show the other day. Anyway, so all that to say, we're not talking about material blessings. We're talking about spiritual blessings. That's what we're going to talk about today. So if you got your Bible, Galatians chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. We're going to read about the first 14 verses. I've mapped out the rest of Galatians for us over the next few weeks. I'm excited about this. This time of year is a good time because everybody's kind of, whether you're ready or not, Ken prayed for that. You know, school's starting for most of you if it hadn't already. And so that means getting up earlier than you've been getting up for some of you, right? And getting your children up, that'll be fun tomorrow and Tuesday, right? But we're back in the routine. But I'm excited because fall's always an exciting time here at church, and excited about what we're going to do here at Grace this fall. But today we're in Galatians chapter 3. So listen, open our Bibles up, or you can look on the screen here, and let's see what Paul has to say to his friends in Galatians. All right, hear what he says. Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, that's a start. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. May God bless the reading and the teaching of His Word today. As I mentioned to you earlier, Paul has shifted the subject from himself here. He's been talking about himself for the first couple of chapters. He now speaks directly to the recipients of the letter, the Galatians. He begins by calling them idiots. That is a good way to begin your letter to anyone that you love, right? I'm kidding. No, why would you say something like that? Why would you say, you foolish Galatians? Have you been so foolish? You remember all the way back in chapter 1, he said, I'm astonished that you've so quickly forgotten what it is that I taught you, that you learned about Jesus and who He was. You say hard things sometimes to people that you love because you're concerned about the direction that they're headed. You're concerned about what it is that they're believing. And so to get their attention, yes, he doesn't call them names, but he calls them literally, you're being foolish. You're forgetting what it is that Christ has done for you. He even mentions here in verse 1 that someone has bewitched them. Y'all remember Bewitched from the 60s? That has nothing to do with the text. I was just making sure you remembered that. It's a good show. It was about witchcraft, but sorry. It was the 60s. It was a different time back then. So anyway, I watched Bewitched on the reruns. I'm not that old. Anyway, but he said, who has bewitched you? And you know what that means. It's a spell. Who's put this spell on you? You know, who's done an illusion before you to make you forget what Christ has done for you? Why would he say all this? He's saying all these things to say, I'm blown away that these false teachers have come in and led you astray. I'm blown away that you would believe a lie so quickly. And remember, I got to take you back. I want to remind you, say, well, this is my first time here. What in the world were they believing? Here's what they were believing. They believed, they knew the truth that faith was in Christ and Christ alone. But a group of people had come in and said, hey, the first step to faith is to believe in Jesus. But second, you got to follow some rules. They would say, you got to become a Jew. You got to have a physical mark. And they were talking about this mark of circumcision. They were talking about literally becoming a Jew. There was a group called the Judaizers, and they had been led astray, saying, oh yeah, you're right. If we want to really know Jesus, we got to do Jesus plus something else. And Paul says, boy, there's great danger in that. There's great danger in adding something to Christ. Because if you add something to Christ, Paul said, you're taking away the power of what he did on the cross. And we'll come to that here in just a minute. So he said, I can't believe you've forgotten this. And I'm going to tell you two ways, Paul says, that you should know. The two ways that you should remember what it is that Christ done. And the first one is your own personal experience. Look what he says there in verse 2. In verse 2. It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was portrayed as crucified. He said, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or did you receive it by hearing? He's asking them to recall their personal experience. Now, was Jesus crucified before them? He's not saying, were they at the cross, like standing there watching? He's saying, what did you place your faith in? What did you see? You saw Jesus crucified. You saw me preach that. And he's talking about their experience. Let me tell you, one of the most powerful testimonies that you have is your experience. You can talk to someone and they say, I don't believe this, or I don't believe that. You know what you can say? Well, here's my story. I was this way, and when I met Jesus, he changed me. You can't argue with that. They can try, but you say, no, this is my experience. It's a great testimony because it happened to you. You lived it. You've experienced it. And Paul says, Galatians, you know who you were. You know who saved you. It was Jesus. Did you get the Spirit because you guys were so great and you did such a good job of keeping the rules? He said, that's not how you got the Spirit. He said, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? What he's saying is saying, the Spirit is who convicted you of your need for a Savior. The Spirit is the one that led you into salvation. You didn't get that because you were good. You didn't get that because you were a rule follower and you did a good job keeping all of the rules. He said you experienced it yourself. The second thing he says is you also see it in the life of Abraham. Look there in verse 6. He said, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now we're going to have to go way back in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Do you know who Father Abraham is? He had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Sorry, we won't do the song. If you grew up in church like me, it's in your head forever. So there you go. Father Abraham. Abraham was a man who we find many times in the New Testament was one who had great faith. But I want to tell you the story of Abraham. Maybe you're here today, you don't know his story. Abraham was promised that he would be a father of a great nation, a father of many, many descendants. But there was a problem. Abraham did not have any children. One day God called him out of his tent. He walked outside and he looked up at the stars. And God says, look up here, Abraham. As many as the stars that you see, so shall you have as your descendants. And that's where this verse comes from. Abraham, it says here in Genesis, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. Now that's a promise. I don't have any children. God says, go look at the stars. You're going to have that many descendants. And he believed. And you think, well, okay, sure. Well, I know the end of the story. It was fine. Abraham didn't know. He just had to go on faith. You think, well, now Abraham, he was an old guy. He probably had the law, and he probably could go through and do some sacrifices. I'm going to give you some chronological order today. The Jewish people follow after the law of Moses. If you know your Bible history, even if you don't, I'll tell you. Abraham came before Moses. Before Moses was Abraham. So there was no law. There was not even the Ten Commandments at that time. How did they live? You know, they didn't have that. They didn't have all the, they didn't have the Jewish purification rituals. They didn't have all the things. Abraham, it says, believed how? In faith. He believed what God told him in faith. He believed that God could do what he said he was going to do. Now, why would Paul bring up Abraham? You got to realize you're talking to an audience when you look at the Bible. There's an audience for the letter. The audience for Paul's letter would have been very, very well versed in the Old Testament. And a lot of the faith that they placed in the law would have been in the law of Moses. But yet they believed that Abraham was the father of the Jewish people, of the nation of Israel. And so Paul says, I'll do you one better than Moses. I'll go to Abraham. And I'll tell you about how he believed God in faith, and it was counted to him as righteousness. You got to know who you're talking to. And so Paul says, I want you to understand, Abraham, our father, had great faith, not in his own ability, not in the good works that he did. Does it say here, Abraham worked hard and tried to do his best, and God gave him? No, that's not what it says. It says that he believed. And then in verse 7, 8, and 9, we get this beautiful picture of us being the sons of Abraham. It says, those of faith who are now the sons of Abraham. The scripture saw that God would justify the Gentiles. And we talked about the Gentiles. The Gentiles are everybody but the Jewish people. So I'm going to say it like this. God saw that the nations, the people of all color and shapes and sizes, would have an opportunity to believe in faith. And that started with Abraham. All of these people are given the opportunity to be a son, to be the sons of Abraham. And it says the gospel was preached to Abraham. Do you hear that? The gospel, which we only put in the New Testament most of the time, was preached to Abraham in Genesis. He said, in you all the nations shall be blessed. And then all those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And Justin, there's a lot. This is Old Testament. Now I'm confused. I thought we were talking about Paul. We're talking about Galatians. Why in the world are we talking about all of this Old Testament stuff? If you read the Old Testament a lot, you'll find that you get bogged down a lot in genealogies. You guys know what I'm talking about? Shamahat, Begat, Phatavat, and the Begat, Dan, you know, or something like that. And, you know, I can't pronounce all those. You know what I'm talking about? You've read that, right? You know, you so-and-so, and you're like, man, if you're reading through the Bible in a year and you get to those chapters, you're like, Lord, I need you. I need you today. You know, I need to read the genealogy today. Why is all that in there? Why is all those names and all those places I can't pronounce in there? It was a big deal because you understand there was a very, very important thing that people did when they traced out their lineage. They'd say, I am a descendant of Moses or a descendant of Abraham, and I can trace it back. My granddad was so-and-so, my great-granddad, and all these things. It was a very big deal because, and it's what it was God's intent, it was God's plan, don't hear me, it was God's plan to keep the nation of Israel pure, to keep it, he said, don't go intermarry, you know, be in this lineage. And Paul says, Jesus has changed all of that. Now the gospel is available to all. Instead of being a biological son of Abraham, you can now be a spiritual son of Abraham. Did you see? He said that. He said, we're now all sons of Abraham. How are we sons of Abraham? Because we share with Abraham, not a bloodline, but we share faith with Abraham. I like that. I can share in the blessings in the lineage of Abraham, not because I was born the right place or the right time for the right family, because I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now I share in the family and the lineage of Abraham. And so Paul says, what a great picture of a spiritual descent instead of a physical descent. You understand, Paul's opponents were saying, no, you need to be physically right to be a part of the family of God. And Paul says, I tell you what, I'm not worried about who you physically are. I'm worried about who you spiritually are. Do you follow after Jesus? Do you follow after him in your heart? That's what matters to me. And so Paul moves on. Man, there's some beautiful stuff. Verses 10 through 14 are three sermons, but I'm going to give it to you in just a few minutes, okay? There's a lot of truth in here. It says to us, if we rely on works of the law, we're under a curse, for it's written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. We talked about this last week, so I won't rehash it again a ton. Has anyone ever kept the law perfectly, except for Jesus? No. How early was it in our lives where we broke the law? I would imagine mine was pretty early, okay? Yours might have been early too. I'm not judging you, okay? You had a fit, you broke the law, you had sin is real, it entered into our lives really early, didn't it? So Paul says, I want you to understand, if you cannot keep the law, you are under a curse. You're like, I don't like the God of curse. I prefer the God of love. Okay? I prefer the God who only loves me. That's not the God of the Bible. He's both. You realize that God is a God of divine judgment. And from the beginning, we talked about this last week as well, when we talked about justification, a holy God can't allow sin into his presence. So that makes a gap between us, doesn't it? Between God and man. And I can't keep the law. I can't be, I've got sin. And so I'm under a curse. And yes, don't get me wrong, we like the God of love, and he is a God of love. I'll show you in a minute how much he loved us. But we have to begin with the fact that there is a judgment on sin. As a matter of fact, the Bible here calls it a curse. He says in verse 11 and 12, there's a couple Old Testament references here, one from Habakkuk and one from Leviticus. says in verse 11, the quote there says, the righteous shall live by faith. And verse 12 says, the one who does them shall live by them. And the key word in both of those is the word live. It speaks about not just living physically, breathing. It's talking about eternal life. Because isn't that what we're looking for? We're looking for how can we, if there's this gap between us and God, how can we be reconciled to Him and receive eternal life? And it sets before us here, using some Old Testament quotes, two alternatives. And the first alternative, actually, it's kind of backwards, is in verse 12, where it says, the law is not of faith. It says the one who does them, and it's implied the one who does them perfectly shall live by them. And that's the one we've already talked about. You can't do that. You can't perfectly keep the law and find eternal life. Verse 11 speaks, though, of a life of faith. He says, it's evident that no one's justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by how? By the law? No, they live by faith. And so what we have are these two paths. We have the path of the one who wants to be a doer. I'm going to do everything right and find my way to God. And then we find the path of faith. The one who says, I believe that Christ has done it all. I believe that He has paid the price. I believe He is the doer. And then what we see, just one of the most powerful, listen, if I could bottle this up, you could take this with you. I want you to take this with you. Verses 13 and 14 are a powerful, powerful testimony. It says Christ redeemed us from, you see that? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. I've got some good friends. I've got some people that I consider really good friends. But I've never had anybody take my punishment for me. I just have people. I mean, if I'm guilty, they're going to be like, man, I'll pray for you. You know, I'm here if you need anything except take your punishment, right? It's not how we do. It's not how we do things, is it? We don't step out there and take punishment for people. I got to tell you, that's exactly what Christ did for us. You deserved a curse. You're under a curse because you can't keep the law. And He bore our curse for us on the cross. Paul says, that's why he goes back in the beginning of the chapter. Don't you know that Jesus was crucified? You remember Him? You remember that you heard of Him? That He's the one that was lifted on the tree? The curse that I deserved was transferred to Him. He took it voluntarily upon Himself. I got to tell you, you think about Jesus on the cross, if you know the story. There's a point when Jesus is on the cross and He cries out to God, God, why have You forsaken me? Why have You turned your back on me? And that's a theological sermon for a 3-week study. But it's that point where Christ took on the sin of the world and God couldn't look on sin. He did that because He was a sinner? No. See, that's the beautiful part of what He did for us. He did that because I'm a sinner. And because you are, and because my kids are, and because we all are. He took the curse upon Himself, even though He didn't deserve it. He did that for me. He did that for you. And Paul speaks to the Galatians. He said, how can you forget that? How can you forget that? If somebody did that for you, don't be so quickly led astray. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Him on the cross. I want you to see what He's done for you. But see, the cross He mentions there, you see that in the verse. He said, cursed is everybody who hangs on a tree. Being hung on a tree in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, was a sign of divine rejection. If you were hung on a tree, you were divinely rejected. And so the Jews, boy, Paul spoke a lot about, they couldn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, because nobody that hangs on a tree could be the Messiah. You know what changes people's perspective on that? It's when they realize that it wasn't because of His sin. It was because of theirs. changes our perspective on him becoming the curse for us. I got to tell you, there's one thing, though, that we have to do that we can't miss. Because if you stop there, you'd say, well, okay. Well, everybody's going to be saved. Jesus took the curse for everybody. Everybody just live however you want to, and you can be saved. There's a responsibility, though, in the part of man, and it's shown there in verse 14. Speaking of Christ, the blessing of Abraham, coming to the Gentiles, coming to all nations, so that we might receive the promised Spirit. And there's two words there at the end. You got to note that it says, through faith. We're not saved by a distant Christ. We're not saved by a figment of someone's imagination. We are saved when we take hold personally of Christ by faith. When we believe in the work of the cross, when we believe in the power of his substitution for us. He took what I deserved and made a way for me to have life. So Paul sets before us today two contrasts, doesn't he? Two routes, blessing and cursing. I deserve curse, but yet because of Christ, I'm able to receive a blessing. Let me define for you today, just real quickly as we end. What is this blessing of Abraham that we get? It's a picture of salvation, and I wanted to remind you today maybe of where you are or where maybe God is calling you. The first thing we receive because of this blessing is we receive favor with God. This is from last week and from this week, where we understand that God is holy and we're not. And so it's that word we talked about, that big word, justification, which is the idea that God, instead of condemning me, makes me righteous because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm able to find favor with God. The second thing I find is that word life that was in verse 11 and 12. I find eternal life in my fellowship with God. He's with me. He will not leave me or forsake me. Even if my physical life on this earth is over, do you understand that my fellowship with God never ends? But while I am here and present, we get the third thing. We get the presence of God. I pulled out a thesaurus to find a word that started with F, and I failed. So it's FFP this week, okay? Just forgive me. The presence of God. His Holy Spirit. Did you see the word Spirit many times in this verse? Did you see in these verses the presence of His Spirit with us, our helper, our guide, the promised Spirit that leads us to salvation and then leads us into eternity? The curse, the Bible says, would come to us by the law, trying to do it on our own, trying to be perfect. The blessing of God, the blessing of Abraham, comes to us by faith. Those who receive the curse trust in their own works. Those who receive the blessing trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So the challenge here for us today is really straightforward. Stop trying to do things on our own. Stop trying to add to the message of Jesus, the message of forgiveness that he offers. I'm going to ask you today that we just simply come humbly to the cross and remember that that was the place where Christ bore our curse. And that's the place where we can cast ourselves at his feet and upon his mercy. Why would Paul say all this? This is a lot of reminders. Somebody say, I know all these things. Paul spoke to a group of people that he loved very much because even though they knew these things, they had been led astray. And boy, I tell you, we just have to guard ourselves, folks, because you never know what's going to come our way. You never know what's going to come and lead us. And I love you, and I warn our people. God loves us. He wants us to hear his word and hear it powerfully. Say to us, just remember the work of Christ. Remember the blessing of being in favor with God, having fellowship with God, and the presence of His Holy Spirit. May you be comforted by that today. May you be reminded of the powerful truth of the one who can set us free. Let's bow together for just a moment. As we get ready to close today, I challenge you just to hear what God's word is saying to us today, which is just the fact that I just am overwhelmed this morning by the fact of his love for us. He took what he didn't deserve for me and for you. He bore my punishment there on the cross. But thank you for so many years ago that he saved me. His spirit called me and changed me, made me new. Today, maybe you're here and you are a child of God. I want you to just stop in a minute when we sing and just thank God for your salvation, for paying the price for you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know him and you need to surrender to him. Our prayer partners are going to be here. I'll be here at the front. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe today you need to surrender and receive the blessing of Abraham. Receive the blessing of knowing him. So, Father, today we just give you this time. We ask, Lord, that in these few moments of singing, these few moments of reflection, that your word would speak truth, that it would speak powerfully to us, God, that we would hear it, not as the words of man, but as the very word of God. So, God, I pray today that in a room like this, there'd just be a freedom. God, I pray the enemy would be bound. There'd be no distractions. God, if people need to come pray, I hope they'd come to a prayer partner, pray, come up front and pray. God, forgive us when we forget of the sufficiency. We forget the sufficiency of your word, Father. Thank you for saving me. May you bring salvation through the power of your word, through the power of your spirit today. We pray this in Jesus' name.